Hey everybody, Tim Evanicki here with The College Audition, back again with another episode of The College Audition Podcast, here today with my very special guest, Jesse Hinson, undergraduate coordinator for the Department of Theater and associate teaching professor at Northeastern University. Thanks so much for joining us today, Jesse.
It's a pleasure. Thanks for having me.
So, Jesse, we'd like to get to know the person before the program always. So if you could take a few moments here and just let us know a little bit about your history, career, and the series of events that led you up to your time at Northeastern.
Sure. Yeah, absolutely. I was an athlete for a very long time before I ever did my first bit of theater. And that was when I was 12 at the Richard Dixon Dinner Theater in Gainesville, Florida. We did Oliver, and I was compensated in leftover English trifle at the end of the night. And the woman who was playing Nancy would give me a kiss on the cheek during one of the songs, and I was like, this is the best job ever. So I just kept doing theater from there on out. When I went into my undergrad, which was Oglethorpe University in Atlanta, Georgia. It's a small liberal arts school there. I was unconvinced that I could make a life and a living in the theater. So the day before classes started, my major was pre-med. And I went to my pre-med advisor and I said, I don't think this is going to make me happy. And he said, well, what will make you happy? I said, I think I want to study theater. And he signed me up for all these courses, and he was at every production that I was ever in, and so that made a big impression on me as well. There was an equity Shakespeare company in residence at my university, and I got to train with them a lot. And then after I graduated, I took a couple of years to work in the theater world in Atlanta, and then went to grad school, ended up at Brandeis University in Waltham, Massachusetts, just outside of Boston. And studied there, earned my master's. I always kind of knew that teaching and education and academia were places that I gravitated towards and felt comfortable being in. And then stayed in Boston. The theater community here made a space for me, which I'm eternally grateful for. And I still act regularly here. And I've been teaching now at Northeastern for 8 years.
Great. So at Northeastern, as the coordinator of the undergraduate coordinator of the theater department, which degree or degrees do you oversee?
Sure. So we offer a BA and a BS in theater. And that distinction is only differentiated by virtue of a language component, which is totally confusing. And I still don't understand why that's the way it is, but that's what it is. So and most of the folks that I mentor, because I am a performer, are on that performance track through our curriculum. We have other folks who mentor the design folks and the people who are more inclined towards playwriting or dramaturgical inquiry.
Great. So let's dive right into the program. I usually put my guests on the spot at this time and tell them that they need to give me their elevator pitch for the program. So 60 seconds or less. Why Northeastern?
Okay, so in the past, a triple threat. It was probably someone who acts, sings, and dance, and that's great. That's great. I can do one of those things, and it depends on which critic you ask. For us, what we are interested in is sort of a modern take on the triple threat. Maybe you're a playwright, lighting designer, director, and that's your triple threat. We want to offer you a curriculum that's like a choose your own adventure where you have agency around your own skill set and are able to build that so that you are a modern theater maker. We also just embrace values of generosity, inclusivity, and we believe that good theater means making your scene partner, metaphorical scene partner, look like $1 million. And if that's happening back for you, then you've probably got something good going on there. And those are the values that we reflect within our classrooms, in our community, and in our productions as well. So there you go.
Great. I think that was actually under 60 seconds.
Hey.
So if I was an undergrad BA or BS theater major heading to Northeastern, can you sort of walk me through what my first year will look like. And we can, if you want, differentiate BA and BS. I'm sure they're relatively the same. Usually BS just means you have an extra science and one less language. But tell me what that looks like.
Yeah. They're so similar that I'll just treat them both the same, especially in the first year. So incoming students would be welcomed into our community on day one, have the opportunity to audition for our production seasons, which happens usually on one of the first days of classes. So that's one of the things to be on the radar for incoming folks. In terms of their curriculum and coursework, all theater majors at Northeastern are required to take a set of foundational courses. I believe that there are five. And we believe in a holistic approach to theater making. So if you're an actor, you're taking a design course. If you're a designer, you're taking an acting course. And then once those foundational courses are completed, that's when the student can really work with their academic advisor to carve their own pathway through the curriculum. Outside of that, we offer first year incoming students a course that's a one credit course called Theater at Northeastern, which just acclimates you to how we do things and introduces you to people in our community. Yeah, on top of that, our students in their first years normally get very involved at the club level of theater making as well, which are all student-led clubs on campus. They get very much involved in our production season. They start to prep themselves for co-op experiences, which I can talk a lot about more. They start to prep themselves for study abroad experiences. And ultimately, you know, they are as busy as they want to be. We invite anyone to participate in our community up to the level that they feel comfortable in participating.
So generally the perception is if it's not a BFA, there's a lot of gen ed requirements. So can you tell me what that side of things looks like as far as their degree requirements go?
Sure. Yeah. I would say like the overarching philosophy around things that I've known at Northeastern, and I say this also with the full disclosure that they do not let me out of the theater building too often. So I think the big philosophy piece there is like, I never want you to be in a course where you're sitting there thinking like, when am I ever going to use this? So what I'm hoping is that the gen ed or the core requirements are things that actually either intersect with theater or are just directly related. So for instance, I'll give you an example. We have a wonderful lighting design course taught by my colleague, Professor Oliver Wasson. And that course counts as your math requirement. So, you know, by virtue of taking that course, you not only are, you know, applying your own theater making skills, but you're taking care of that piece of your requirements as well. So that would be the best example that I can give. And a lot of our students come in with, you know, interdisciplinary curiosity or passions. So by virtue of exploring some of those, they take care of that as well. Yeah.
And tell us about performance opportunities there. How often are students getting on the stage? How many shows a year?
Yeah. We offer anywhere from 4 to 6 productions per year of varying size and scale. So for instance, and we operate out of the Studio Theater, which is located in the Curry Student Center. It's very central to campus and very visible to the rest of our community. We run our productions for 2 weeks generally, so students get 11 to 12 performances as opposed to just like Friday, Saturday, Sunday strike. You get that feeling of what it's like to maintain a performance over a period of time. And it gives our community more chances to see our work. We generally do 2 to 3 things in the fall semester and 2 to 3 things in the spring semester. And those could look like what we just finished up, which is our full production of Polaroid Stories by Naomi Azuka, which featured professional local Boston set designers, projection designers. It was an all-student cast. One of our faculty directed that. Or it could be something as maybe a smaller scale project, like, oh, we've been doing some radio plays recently, which have been really fun and have been broadcast over the Northeastern radio station. Devised work, student capstone work, their own written work being produced, or student directed work. Sometimes that gets fit into our season as well. But this particular season, the overarching theme has been kind of like modern takes on mythical works or classics. So that's sort of the vein that's been running through the entire season. And it's really exciting. They're doing edgy, really just powerful, impactful work. And I get to participate as a violence designer and an intimacy choreographer. And it's just been really, really gratifying to see how they take command of their own work and assist them.
So as coordinator, obviously you have a lot of administrative tasks to do, but tell us a bit more about the classes and maybe the other hats that you wear while you're there, where the students will actually interact with you.
Sure. Yeah, absolutely. So for theater majors, I teach movement for the actor, stage combat. In the past, I've taught Acting One, which is our introductory theater major focused acting course that centers around contemporary work. And this past year, I taught Acting Three for the first time, which centers around dramatic text and Shakespeare. So for majors, that's by and large how I'm interacting with those folks within our curriculum. I also teach a lot of non-major courses as well. So improvisation and intro to acting. I work with students in the Explore program. Those are students who are undeclared, who might be considering a theater major or a theater minor as well. So those are the many hats that I wear. And it basically boils down to like whatever we need at any given moment, whatever my department chair asks for, I tend to be the one to step up and teach the studio course for it. So.
So as a BA or a BS, generally that does open the door for the ability for students to explore other things and minor in other things. Can you tell us the possibility within their schedule of either double majoring or minoring?
Yes, I'd be glad to, because, again, one of the hallmarks of our work at Northeastern is the flexible curriculum. And just to be really clear about the nomenclature here, students could major in one subject and minor in a bunch of others. Our students collect a lot of minors. In fact, a theater minor at Northeastern is really only four classes. And we have a lot of different subcategories for minors as well, theater and social change, playwriting, things like that. There's also a double major, which means you would complete all of the requirements for one major and all of the requirements for another major. It is intense, but doable, and some of our students do. I recently had a double major in theater and physics and just found that to be one of the most fascinating students that I've interacted with. Then the other thing, and this one is incredibly popular, is what's known as a combined major. So it's half of one major and half of another major zippered together in a way that complements both. And within the College of Art, Media, and Design, a lot of those disciplines complement each other naturally. So theater and ASL, theater and media and screen studies, theater and communication studies, theater and journalism, theater and design. But now we've already started to see that popularity go to other colleges as well. So theater and English, and then very recently, we have a new combined major in theater and psychology that has been really, really exciting and really popular already. So that is a thing. I would say more often than not, our students are combined majors.
Wow, that combined major thing sounds very exciting. Like theater and psychology is brilliant.
Yeah.
I'm actually a little surprised that you're the first I've heard of that happening, because it seems like it would be a natural thing. So that's awesome. So Boston is obviously a big cultural center. Tell us how the school interacts with or is woven into the cultural fabric of that area, because there's lots of schools, lots of universities, lots of theaters. What are the students able to do in to be part of that community?
Sure. Well, first off, geographically, you're smack dab in the middle of the city, and we have a beautiful campus, actually, in the middle of the city, within walking distance to the Huntington Theater Company, which is our Tony Award-winning regional theater. And our students often receive free ticket offers, so they're seeing lots of professional theater here in Boston. You're also steps from the Museum of Fine Art, and you're also steps from the Boston Symphony Orchestra. So, like, just geographically, you're triangularly centered around three of the biggest cultural institutions in Boston. Beyond that, our students are able to interact with theater professionals in the area through a class called the Boston Theater Experience, where students are seeing theater on a weekly basis, and then discussing that with the artists who have made that theater. And also, we've definitely had students who have auditioned for and been cast in local professional productions, which we are perfectly fine as long as the student can make their academic requirements. We invite them to get that experience, because experience is something you need the moment after you, or the moment experience is something you get the moment after you need it. So why not get that experience? And sometimes we can negotiate that so that the student is getting credit for that as well. So those are a few ideas about it, but it's there are so many possibilities depending on what you are interested in. And that I didn't even mention, like, the music scene and more of the fringe stuff that happens in town, and ballet, Boston Ballet, which is also very near us as well. So, and we have strong connections with all of our local professional theater companies through the co-op program. And by virtue of a lot of us as faculty have worked professionally as performers and designers quite regularly for those companies.
Yeah. You mentioned the ability to do shows outside while still in school. And I've heard that from a lot of colleges in the past. But the question is it just possible or is it probable? Like, how often does that happen?
Yeah, I think it's pretty situational based on the student. So, for instance, we had a student who this past summer was in a production with a wonderful company called Company One. And I think that that was, I mean, not only is she just wildly talented, so of course they would want to work with her, but that the fact that it happened during the summer made it a little bit more doable academically as well. I would say that most of our students tend to work within the department and within our clubs and are very much engaged with their classes, and that does tend to kind of like limit the availability for some of that stuff, but it doesn't deter them from auditioning or inquiring about those opportunities. So I would say that if a student is really interested in doing that and, you know, has put in the work, then who knows what could happen. But most of the time, our students do like to work with one another and within the department. So it's a little bit more of an exception than a rule.
Mm-hmm. And other than yourself, tell us some of the other key players in the theater program there. Who else are the people that the students are going to be working with?
Wonderful. Yeah. So our department chair is Professor Antonio Ocampo Guzman. Antonio and I have been friends for years. In fact, he was at my wedding. His husband officiated our wedding. So he runs a lot of the administrative work for the entire department, budgets, you know, season planning, things like that. And doesn't teach as much anymore, but his training is in Linklater voice work, among other things. He's a master teacher in that. And clowning. Sorry, I should not forget that. He's a master clown as well. So that would be one person. My colleague, Samantha Rickard-Bohm, who I went to grad school with, teaches a lot of performance classes as well. My colleague, Jonathan Carr, teaches Viewpoints and Introduction to Theater. We have faculty who are teaching. I should mention Melinda Lopez, who is a Boston legend, playwright, and performer. She recently won an Elliot Norton Award, which is sort of like our local Tonys for a lifetime achievement of work in the theater, and is just like the nicest human being you could ever hope to meet, but also just awe-inspiringly brilliant in her work. So we have assembled a community of faculty and staff who are very actively engaged in their own creative practice, but are also dedicated to student success and the offering of many different ways of approaching theater and methodologies.
Yeah. Let's talk a little bit about, is the program an audition program? Let's start there.
Great. Auditions are not required for admission into our program, but they are highly recommended. What that does, and I haven't mentioned this yet before, but we do not handle admissions at the department level. That's all handled at the university level through the Office of Admissions. Now, with an audition, what that allows me to do, or a creative submission, a portfolio submission, that allows me to advocate on behalf of students who we feel are really, really good fits to admissions and say, hey, this person is excellent and this is why they're excellent and you should really consider admitting them to our program. The other advantage of auditioning or submitting a creative portfolio is that it makes incoming students eligible for scholarship opportunities as well. So those two things alone should be, the advantageous elements around auditioning. But yeah, it is not required. We also like to think of our audition process as being very like low stakes, laid back, not make or break. And in fact, you know, we have a lot of folks who are very interested in design who come to our auditions just to show us their portfolios and talk and ask questions as well. So that is the very like quick and dirty version of it all. But that's the main process. And we offer in-person auditions. Those just happened this past Saturday for early action, early decision due dates, which are November 1st. And then we do a virtual audition that'll be this weekend to catch folks on the West Coast and Midwest and folks who are in Puerto Rico and folks in Mexico and all of that. So, that's what that looks like.
Are your student? I mean, you just mentioned students coming from very far-reaching areas. Do you have sort of a geographically diverse incoming class, or would you say it's mostly Northeast? Where you're attracting students from?
Yeah, that's a great question. For some reason, that at the in-person audition this past Saturday, it was dominated by folks from New Jersey. So, like, we have a large contingent from New Jersey. So, if you're from New Jersey and you get admitted, you have a ride home at Thanksgiving.
maybe Amtrak had a sale or something.
Yeah, maybe. I didn't ask. But yeah, it's primarily, you know, folks from the Northeast, but also a lot of folks from California, Chicago. As our sort of profile has expanded, we've definitely seen some folks in incoming classes from quite geographically diverse areas, which is amazing and refreshing and just a blessing. So we encourage you do not need to be a Boston-centric person. In fact, I need more ex-Southerners to come join me because I'm like the only person up there. So
So, I mean, when students sometimes hear non-audition programs, the concern is there, of course, that, you know, it's not going, they're not going to be amongst competitive peers. What do you say to people with that concern?
Yeah, that's a great question. Well, I think there's a fine line in the like baked into competition, especially around theater, where there's a lot of like comparison that happens, and comparison is the thief of joy. So I would say that we push each other to be better versions of ourselves in an atmosphere that is based in generosity rather than scarcity, and ensemble dynamics rather than like there's one part and eight people, which that is the place, like that's the environment that I like to work in. And it's not because I don't necessarily like competition. I also do Brazilian jiu-jitsu, so I really like that sort of thing as well. But I also am not convinced that that necessarily creates the best art as well. Mm-hmm. So we are interested in rigor. We're interested in student growth. And we're interested in having close, I would say, attention on students so that we can assess what they need and create the environment for that to happen. But like most things in life, it's really up to the person to take the reins and make the most of it. So look, yeah, it's not for everybody. And through every audition season, I see students who say that they're interested in the BA sort of thing, but really give off the vibe that it's going to be a conservatory or bust thing. And that's great. You should do that. We're not for everybody. And the theater world is very small, and we're all going to end up working together anyway. So I would rather you be like really fulfilled and happy about your educational experience than miserable. So the bleed goes either way. Like, we have people who find out what we're about and are like, oh, that's not what I want to do. And then we also have people who transfer in after a miserable year of conservatory training. So mm-hmm. That's sort of how things work for us. We make no we're not blind to the fact that the world of theater is incredibly competitive and can be quite challenging. But hopefully what we're doing is equipping students for that in a mindset that is realistic and hopefully optimistic and positive as well.
Yeah. Well said. So tell us then, you just said we're not for everybody, just like mm-hmm. conservatories aren't for everybody.
Right.
Who are you for? What do you feel is your ideal student?
Yes, that's great. We are ideal for students who, I'm just going to do like a hypothetical student, right? We're ideal for a student who is, has done theater in high school and loves it and does not want to give that up, but is also really interested in criminal justice and is also kind of like interested in how those two things interplay with one another. And maybe that they want to take a co-op, which is a 6-month paid job where students are not paying tuition. And you have a co-op advisor who helps you set all that up and you create a resume. So maybe you want to do one co-op in the world of theater and one co-op in the world of criminal justice and create a combined major in those two things and look at the intersectionality of that and end up doing some sort of really fascinating university funded creative practice research at the end of your time in your final year. And then go off to do what you want to do with that. So I say that with the knowledge in mind that we just had a student who entered Georgetown Law who was a theater major because acting is arguing. And she's brilliant, and that so she's using that theater background leverage towards this other thing that she's doing. But it goes the other way as well. I mean, we have a former student, an alum, who is working on a play at Playwrights Horizons right now, off Broadway. We have an alum who helps to run the public theater as well. And we celebrate that at every level. So any success is a success for us. And we try to make sure that that student's success is tailored to what they actually want to do, instead of forcing them down some sort of prescribed pathway, which I know I felt that pressure a lot to go to New York or LA as an actor. And neither one of those pathways just really appealed to me. So I hope that I can provide some of that for students who might be trying to figure that out. But if maybe like it's Broadway or bust, hey, let's do it. Let's figure out how that's going to work out for you. So,
yeah. So we started talking about the audition process, and then we got sidetracked. So I want to go back around. Auditions are not required, but you said they're encouraged.
Yes.
What does that an audition look like while they're doing it? What are the requirements of that audition?
Sure. So like an in-person or a virtual audition, we do 12-minute slots. And we're really looking for 3 minutes of total work, whether that be two contrasting monologues or one monologue. Generally something contemporary we encourage, unless, you know, classical or Shakespeare is just like your thing. We don't have a singing component because we produce a musical maybe every other year. That's just not like a huge part of our production seasons every year. And there are reasons why I could go into that. But we also want to make sure that students are exposed to all sorts of different types of theater, so that when they look at an audition listing for a whole season for a theater company, they can look at that and confidently say, like, I've had experience doing all of that. I feel like I could audition for anything in a season. And then after the performing the monologue piece at an audition, my colleague and I will sometimes ask for an adjustment, or we will just sit and ask questions and talk to the student and find out more about what they're interested in and what they want out of an undergraduate theater program. Sometimes I ask about their favorite plays or playwrights. And then for a creative submission, which is a portfolio component, in that students can upload as much or as little media as they want. So I see design sketches, I see lighting plots, I see stage management notes and cue books. I read 10-minute plays as well as seeing monologues and hearing, you know, cuts of musicals and songs as well. So I also read, you know, statements of purpose from students, and I get to read about their leadership accomplishments and their awards that they've won and their community service work as well. So it's completely up to how a student wants to go through that process, and they all count equally. So an in-person audition counts the same as a virtual audition, counts the same as a portfolio submission. We try to be really flexible with that whole process.
So other than the monologue preparation that's done for an interview, what do you feel like is the best way that a student can prepare themselves for your audition/interview process?
Yeah, I mean, I think the thing about auditioning, like prepare, just like rehearse out loud, and make a bunch of choices. Like, you're interesting on stage when you're changing, so always be changing. And also know, like, we're interested in you acting all the way down to the floor. Like, on stage, everyone can see your whole body, so you don't need to treat this as maybe like something on camera where you need to be a little bit more still. I want to see engagement physically because I'm a movement teacher. And then like the last little bit, which is kind of easier to say and harder to do is to come in relaxed and with the knowledge that, of course, like, this is not a make or break component of the, you know, admissions process. It's just a way for us to get to know you better. And if the more that you can treat it as, oh, this is an opportunity for me to perform, I love performing, and not think about it as like this gateway entry thing, which it isn't, then I think that we're all going to have like a much better time around that. So yeah, that's what I would say.
Great. Beautiful. So if a student or a parent wants to get to know anything or get to know more about the program at Northeastern, what's the best way to get in touch and get that information?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. There's a bunch of different ways. You can follow us on social media. I believe that it's theater_NU. You can visit our website through the College of Arts, Media, and Design. All of my information is up there. Antonio, the department chair's information is up there. Marty McIntosh, who is our operations manager and basically is the glue that holds our department together, all of her stuff is up there as well. We also have on our page that is about auditions and portfolio submissions, there's a link to a prospective student digital brochure that we spent a long time putting together, which talks a lot about who we are and what we do and what we believe in our production season, our curriculum. It's got a lot of like wonderful photos of productions past as well, and a couple of introductions to what current students are doing. That would be a place to really start and sort of seek out if I were, you know, a prospective student or parent who was interested.
Mm-hmm. And last question I always ask my guests, tell us something that you're looking forward to.
Oh, man. Okay, so I just got done performing a play at Speakeasy Stage Company here in Boston called Heroes of the Fourth Turning, and was really proud of all of that work. And so I guess I'm telling you something about something that just happened that I'm not like looking forward to because it happened, but I'll tell you this. I got to act in that production with an alum who was in classes that I taught and was just like, Tim, I had to keep up with her. Like, she was just firing on all cylinders and I was so proud of her. So that was like one of the things that I was looking forward to, and now having done it, I'm still kind of in that place of like, wow, that was a big highlight of my artistic career. But we have some awesome productions coming up in our season as well. And I'm getting to teach movement again in the spring. I'm teaching stage combat right now, and my students' fights, they look just really, really good. So yeah, every day I kind of come in and get surprised about what happens in the classroom. And that's one of the reasons why I love it and why I've been there for 8 years and why I want to continue to engage with it as much as I possibly can.
That's beautiful. Well, Jesse, thank you so much for joining us today and chatting about your awesome theater program at Northeastern. We hope to have you around here again real soon.
Thank you so much.
All right. Have a good day.
For more information on the exciting training, workshops, and resources we have to offer at The College Audition, please visit us online at www.thecollegeaudition.com or follow us on Facebook, Instagram, TikTok, and YouTube.